Today's episode of the podcast is sponsored by Dr. Carlo Bayraktarian.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. This is Der Narek from St. Sarkis Church in Douglaston, New York. And today I am joined with a good friend of the show who has been away for a few weeks, Mr. Veh Bezdigyan. Veh, welcome.
Thank you, Der Narek. Happy to be here.
Let's start our show and our day with a prayer from the prayers of the Armenian Church. And today Veh is going to read the prayer for us.
True God and merciful Father, we thank you, for you have honored us more than the blessed patriarchs, in spite of our sinful nature. For while you allowed them to call you their God, you were, in your compassion for us, pleased to be called Father by us. O Lord, we pray you, make the grace of this new relationship with us to shine forth and to flourish in your holy church. Amen.
Amen. This is a prayer from the Missal of the Armenian Church, a prayer that the celebrating priest says privately during Badarak right after singing the Lord's Prayer. We chose this prayer today because in this prayer we call God our Father. And this week, as we are celebrating Father's Day, it is very fitting for us to not only congratulate the fathers in our community, but also think about the idea of fatherhood. To me, the best place for us to start is our relationship with our Heavenly Father. It was with Jesus Christ, our Lord, that God became our Father. Before that, God was this almighty power that was with his people, but the relationship of Father and child did not exist. And it was one day that Jesus was praying and his disciples saw him praying. And they went to him and they asked him to teach them how to pray. And Jesus taught them the Lord's Prayer. And that changed everything, because let's focus on the words of the Lord's Prayer. It says, Our Father. And that was the beginning of a new relationship. A relationship that we sometimes can't take for granted, but it is something that we always need to think about, that God is our Heavenly Father.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
From a religious standpoint?
Sure.
So based on what you've outlined, in the Old Testament, was there not that understanding that God was our Father? So the Jewish people did not refer to God as Father, and it only started post-Christ?
Yes, definitely. The relationship of the people of the Old Testament with their God was not a father-child relationship. And it is with Jesus that God becomes our Father.
Becomes a lot more familiar and intimate.
Absolutely.
Սիրելեմ քեզ հարվել կրծքին քո հայրական բազուկներում քո առնական ինձ կարծել է ինձ մեզ հսկա հայրես եվել հայրես եվել մասիս իպես վեզ եղել ու քո սիրտա ու սուրխի
Father's Day, what does it mean to you, Veh?
Father's Day, I'll be honest, until the last 5 years of my life, was focused entirely on my father, whom I love and respect dearly. And it really, the dimension changed for me, obviously, when I became a father and started to look at how my children see me and how they perceive their relationship with me. So it's become a lot more special. And I'm sure as I get older, and Der Narek, you can probably speak to this, as the children get older and they're able to express their gratification to their parents and to their father and the relationship they have with their father, it becomes a lot more fulfilling and rewarding.
I agree with you, Veh. I would like to share my own experience. It's very odd that when I was growing up in the Middle East, if Father's Day almost did not exist. Now, in the Middle East, we celebrated Mother's Day on March 21st or 22nd, the first day of spring. And there was a lot of attention given to the mothers of the community. But Father's Day did not exist. And it was when I came to this country, I learned about Father's Day. And that's very interesting. I remember first time calling my father and I'm wishing him Happy Father's Day. And he was like, Asur Daganega. It was something new for him. But since then...
A new concept.
Yes, I've been calling my father. And as you say, 7 years ago when my son Hosep was born, Father's Day became a totally different holiday for me. And each year it has a different meaning, a new meaning. And you hear the radio or when you watch the TV, people are asking or advertising different kinds of gifts, things that people can buy for their parents, for their fathers. I'm not into that, you know, buying gifts or getting gifts, whole idea of trying to celebrate the holiday through giving gifts. I don't know if you agree with me or not.
I agree. It's a typical commercialized holiday season here in our lovely United States. But, you know, we try to overcome that and try to look at the actual depth of the holiday and the significance of it and respecting our fathers and doing something special for them that day.
Yeah, I mean, for me to receive any gift, I think I have to earn it. And mm-hmm. the way that anyone can earn a good Father's Day gift is by being a good father, being a good parent. And research suggests, or there's a lot of evidence out there that good parenthood is very important because the wellness of your children depends on how well you are, how good father or parents you're being mm-hmm. with them. And my hope is that I'm being a good parent, and when my children grow up, they will appreciate all the things that we do for them.
I guess that's a good point because we assume that we're entitled to receiving that acknowledgement on Father's Day. But I guess if you don't do anything to achieve that or do anything to deserve it, then it kind of rings hollow. So it's important that we strive to be good parents and good fathers so that on Father's Day, our efforts are acknowledged appropriately.
My plan for this Father's Day is probably to call my parents and then be with my family. But my heart goes out to every person who lost their fathers, who are no longer with them. Or the ones who know that their parents or their fathers are in the hospitals and are going through the final stage of their lives. So for those who've lost their parents, I offer a prayer. And I pray for those who are going through hard times. And I pray for the healing powers that may God be with them, strengthen them, and heal their broken hearts. But also, the other dimension for me for Father's Day is acknowledging our spiritual fathers. And when I say that, you know, I can think about the people who have had or still have a very important role in our spiritual well-being. So today I would like to greet our spiritual father, His Eminence Archbishop Oshagan, who is the father figure of our community. He is the prelate, and, you know, I have a very unique relationship with him, me being a priest and he being the bishop, the archbishop of the prelacy. I greet him as our spiritual father. I greet also Anushavan Sarpazan, who, as the former pastor of this church, is a fatherly figure to so many individuals and families, and I pray that may God strengthen them in the work that they do. Ցերասելես ու քո կյանքը բաժաներես տվելես մեզ հայրես եղել մալսիսի պես վեհես եղել ու քո սիրտը ու սուրխիցը ինձ ապավեն հույս են եղել
thinking back to the 10-year anniversary of your ordination, Der Nareg, I recall Sirpazan Oshagan spoke very poignantly about the relationship that he enjoys with you and the father-son relationship that he feels. So I think that's definitely a reciprocal relationship and a unique, probably very special to you in considering his leadership in the church and his leadership and his personal guidance to you as a pastor.
That guidance is something that I really appreciate, and I look forward to always have it because of the experience and the wisdom that Oshagan Sirpazan has. But thank you for bringing that up. Thank you.
Der Nareg, since we're on the topic of Father's Day, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention this Saturday at the church on June 20th, we'll be hosting a Father's Day gathering, Father's Day barbecue, and that's going to be hosted by the St. Sarkis Men's Club. So hopefully if people are around, we hope for good weather. And if you're available, interested in joining us, we're going to have activities throughout the day. I believe we get started in the afternoon, approximately 2 or 3 p.m. And we'll be, like I said, cooking barbecue and spending time in fellowship with others from the church and the greater St. Sarkis community.
Hayrim yeskes chem morana Uanunat mishtamana Serutnera kes gishet Unisht gasem
Last week marked our second annual Sunday of Graduates celebration. Der Nareg, can you tell us a bit about it? There was a lot of work that led into it, and I know yourself and the youth program director, Seta Magerian, were actively engaged in organizing the effort, and it went off terrifically.
This is something that we started last year. We had the idea, Seta and myself, to create a special event to honor every person who is graduating. We organized our first Sunday of Graduates last year, and this year, last Sunday, was the second Sunday of Graduates here in our community. It's an occasion for us to honor every person who is graduating. Now, we had graduates of middle school, high school, colleges, and the whole idea of the Sunday of Graduates is to show our young talents that the community here is proud of you and you are part of this community. So there are no prerequisites to attend the Sunday of Graduates. You don't have to be graduating Saturday School of St. Sarkis Church. You don't have to be a member of St. Sarkis Church. But as long as you want to share your happiness with us, this is a place where we embrace you and we celebrate your success. So the day started with our church service where during the sermon, I addressed the graduates, and Oshagan Sirpazan, who presided the services, he came up on the altar and he blessed the graduates, and there were special stashes that we placed on their shoulders. And then the second part of the day was in the main hall of the church where there was a special fellowship hour for them. We presented a video which will be featured in the bulletin tomorrow, and then there was a moment where they took photos, and on behalf of all the graduates, Never Oranjan gave a short speech, which was very well received by everyone. So again, I congratulate everyone who graduated this year, and we look forward to host our third annual Sunday of Graduates here at St. Sarkis. Our guest today is a young friend of mine who is receiving the Eagle Scout Award this Saturday. Peter Boyajian, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much.
Peter, tell us about yourself. Who's Peter Boyajian?
Well, I'm 17. I am attending Manhasset High School. I just finished my junior year of high school. I'm going senior year next year. I wrestle for my school's varsity team. I'm very active in the church. I serve on the altar. I'm also active in the church's youth group. I was the chairman last year. And I'm also just finishing up my Eagle Scout Award at my Boy Scout troop in Plandome.
Great. Before we talk further about the Boy Scouts, I'd like also to tell my listeners that Peter was part of our Saturday school, part of our Sunday school, and Peter, you were our first chairman ever for our youth club.
Mm-hmm.
So this Saturday, you are receiving the Eagle Scout Award from the Boy Scouts of America. Before we talk about this award, can you tell us about the Boy Scouts of America?
Well, the Boy Scouts of America were founded in 1910 when Robert Baden Powell came to the U.S. from England. Basically, since then, it's been a whole idea of getting some young boys together and allowing them to, with their own ideas and their own skills, develop like organization and leadership. And it's changed a lot since its inception, but it has the same roots about how they try to teach us morals and allow us to lead ourselves.
How long have you been a Boy Scout?
Since I was about 6, so 11 years.
Wow. And you would attend meetings or projects how often? Every once a week, once a month?
During the school year, we have a troop meeting every Thursday, so once a week.
Once a week. And what do you do? Can you tell us about your activities?
In a normal troop meeting, we don't really do much activity-wise. It's more just to bring everyone together, see what everyone's doing, because it's very, you lead yourself. You're not really, the big group and the adults do not really, they don't tell you what to do. They give you ideas and give you opportunities, but in the end, it's up to you what you want to do for yourself. So most of the work I've done for Boy Scouts has not been in the meetings. It's been on the weekends by myself, taking time out of my own schedule to do it.
So why are you receiving the Eagle Scout Award this Saturday?
I'm receiving it this Saturday because for the past about year, I've been working on it, and it entails a lot. Like in the fall, I completed my Eagle Scout service project, which is the biggest portion of the Eagle Scout Award, which is basically as the Eagle Scout recipient, you have to organize and lead a project that does some sort of community service. And my project was renovating the gazebo at the New York Armenian Nursing Home in Queens.
We featured that in one of our bulletins, and the before and after photos. I guess we have to post that somewhere again so that our listeners can see and tell the difference. I think that was a great project that you undertook. Who helped you in that project?
Well, normally it's the Boy Scouts, the younger scouts, who help the Eagle Scouts. But since my project was so far from Plandome, it was mostly my friends who would offer to either drive up or carpool with my other friends to come help me. So we'd only have like 4 or 5 boys at a time helping, but it was good work and we worked for like 8 hours a day.
That's a great thing that you did.
Thank you very much.
You spoke about the morals. What are some of the morals that the Boy Scouts promote?
Well, the core of the morals, I think there are about 12 of them. We have what we call the Scout Law, and if you don't mind, I can recite it now.
Sure.
It goes, a scout is trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent. So those are the 12 points that we really try to drive home with the younger scouts. And we believe if you have those 12 points, it makes you a very good, rounded out, well-made person.
I agree, because some of the morals that you just recited are based on the Bible.
Yeah, reverent.
Yes, and that's a great thing. How do you feel about receiving the award on Saturday?
It definitely feels like a huge weight has been taken off my shoulders because I've been working on it for so long. I feel very proud of myself, but at the same time, I feel that it's not anything special because I feel anyone could do it. Like it's not like you only certain people can do it. If you work hard and if you're driven, you could achieve it.
Peter, what is your message to our listeners? They could be your cohorts, people of your age, they could be parents who are contemplating about enrolling their kids at the Boy Scouts or the Scouts of America in general.
My message is it's never too late to join because the Boy Scouts, while it's only for kids under 18, if you're over 18 and you're a parent and your kid joins, you're definitely going to be very involved and you're going to feel a part of the troop. And definitely some of the values that your kids are learning and some of the skills your kids are acquiring will pass on to you because they'll be very happy to share them with you. So it's never too late to get your family involved in scouting, whether it's through you as a kid or through your kids as a parent.
Excellent. Peter, I am attending the award receiving ceremony on this Saturday. I'm very excited for you. Looking forward to see you on Saturday.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Let's do the Bible reading and reflection now. This is something that we do every week here on the podcast. Today's reading is from the Epistle of St. Paul to the Corinthians, the second epistle, chapter 6, verses 1 through 10.
As God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, "In the time of my favor I heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor, now is the day of salvation. We put no stumbling block in anyone's path, so that our ministry will not be discredited. Rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, in great endurance, in troubles, hardships, and distresses, in beatings, imprisonments, and riots, in hard work, sleepless nights, and hunger, in purity, understanding, patience, and kindness, in the Holy Spirit and in sincere love, in truthful speech and in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left, through glory and dishonor, bad report and good report, genuine yet regarded as impostors, known yet regarded as unknown, dying and yet we live on, beaten and yet not killed, sorrowful yet always rejoicing, poor yet making many rich, having nothing and yet possessing everything." The Word of God.
The church in Corinth was having a hard time, and St. Paul writes two epistles, or at least that's what we know from the Bible, although there is evidence that there were more letters that were sent by St. Paul, but we have in the canon two letters that were addressed to the community of Corinth to address those issues. And what Veh read today from chapter 6, this is a passage where it shows the intentions and the good heart that St. Paul had, because he is exhorting everyone who is in the ministry. And the way that he presents his exhortation is full of love, and this is very encouraging. At least that's the first impression that I get when I read these words. And the most important thing as a first impression, again, is when he says, "As God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain." Did this strike a chord with you, Veh?
I would say God's grace is so important to us as Christians that it cannot be taken lightly. And I appreciate St. Paul's guidance when he tells us to take it seriously and to receive it and to allow it to grow within us despite all the hardships, and allows us to really appreciate what God has given us by way of his grace.
Yeah, we need to focus on the sense of appreciating God's grace, because when we talk about grace, it is, yes, that invisible gift that God gives us, but also what we do throughout the years building on that grace. For instance, when I read this, I think about what happens in the life of a seminarian when they go and they study for years. They are familiar with the Word of God. They know the rich history of our church, and the grace that is given to them is multiplied. And then it is time for them to use that grace for the benefit of the kingdom of God, for the betterment of the church. But sometimes we can be caught up with the little things, with the minute things, and we see that we are wasting that gift, the grace of God, on things that are not helping us to build the kingdom of God. Therefore, I think we need to be constantly aware that the work that we do as Christians is not a simple work that any person can do. This is something for the advancement of the church and the kingdom of God.
How do we cultivate that grace, then, Nanak? How do we make it a more prominent part of our lives so that it's not wasted?
I think having that sense of awareness that what we are doing is something very unique, that awareness is very important. Sometimes when we think that this is the way that we'll pay our bills, but that doesn't work. You know, monetary things should not be our focus. Our focus should be making sure that that grace is alive in our hearts. And then what do we do to make that grace also be visible in the life of our family members and then in the life of our community members? Therefore, it has to be, everyone should be on a missionary role. And when I use this word, I know some people will start to freak out. We're not missionaries. But yes, we are. Because if we choose to live our life of faith, then we are inspiring people. And that inspiration could be a missionary work.
You had said something to me there, Nutting, that I took was very poignant. You had said that one of the old Catholic Church fathers had said, if I'm paraphrasing, forgive me, but always preach the gospel, and when necessary, use words. Which to me is very powerful, because it's really our lives and the steps that we take and our actions that demonstrate our love for God and our ability to convey and to demonstrate that we are Christians and following the Word of God.
Absolutely. And demonstrating that love is done through demonstrating our love to the people around us. So our relationship with God has two dimensions, the horizontal and the vertical. So we need to make sure that we get along well with our neighbor, with the people in our community. And that is the best way that can help us cultivate a relationship with our Heavenly Father. Today we're playing Heirmer as the hymn of the day, because obviously we are celebrating Father's Day this Sunday. I hope you enjoyed this episode. We will be back next week with a new episode of the podcast. In the meantime, I would like to thank our friend, Mr. Ve, for joining us, our producer, Mr. Greg, for always being there for us, our sponsors, and all the listeners. I pray that the peace of our Lord will always be in your hearts. Amen.
Today's podcast was brought to you by Dr. Carlo Bayraktarian. If you'd like to sponsor future episodes, please contact the St. Sarkis Church office at 718-224-2275.